Good afternoon, Eastern Washington, and my fellow patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of free Washington in the new proposed state of liberty, Spokane Valley. Brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea, Republican, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news behind the news. It's not about right and left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope being in man, not being in man, but being in Jesus Christ. And that if our hope is in man, then we need to change it. We need to get our focus on what's right. But we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as Ephesians 2, 5 through 6 says, God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If we're in Christ, Christ is in us. Everything that is under the feet of Jesus Christ is also under our feet if we're in him and he is in us. Here's a great thing. I just witnessed earlier today a good friend of mine, man of God, loves the Lord, but he was hit so hard by lies and false accusations and was drug into our court system. He was kind of down, but you know what he did? He put his trust in Jesus Christ. Not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And it was amazing to watch the heart of a judge swayed so that he was vindicated and that justice truly did prevail. And I think a lot of us are facing those kind of things in our lives where everything is kind of hemmed in around us. We don't know what to do. Just focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus Christ. He's our vindicator. He fights for us. He loves us more than we can even fathom or understand. And here's the great encouraging part. He knew today in that courtroom that that would happen before the beginning of time. Yep, it's all under his control. It is. And when we're in him and he is in us, it's freeing. It's liberating. And if you find yourself there today, that's what you should do. And I want to encourage the men again. I did last Tuesday. I came across a great quote from A.W. Tozer, God and Men. Quote, "The church at this moment needs men, the right kind of men, bold men. We languish for men who feel themselves expendable in the warfare of the soul, who cannot be frightened by threats of death because they have already died to the allurements of this world. Such men will be free from the compulsions that control weaker men. They will not be forced to do things by the squeeze of circumstances. Their only compulsion will come from within or from above. This kind of freedom is necessary if we are to have prophets in our pulpits again instead of mascots," end quote. And that's where we're at. So men out there, reclaim your rightful place. Lead spiritually. Get in the Word and don't just read about the Lord. Experience him on a daily basis. And when everything seems crushing in, it's not the time to start kicking tires and swearing. It's the time to focus on him. Why would we be a different country if we all did that? All right, we're going to move next to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front in the Middle East, coming from Debka File again. Great sources of information coming out. You're not hearing this anywhere else that I can find anyway, but Debka File exclusive. French special operation troops have moved into two U.S. Syrian bases in the north to be a bulwark against Turkey. Now, also, even though Trump said on April 3rd that he was deciding very quickly to remove U.S. troops from Syria, Debka File's military sources are saying that U.S. Marines are actually headed toward the northern Syrian town of Manbij, which is where the Turks were headed toward. So still a flashpoint there, folks, still a flashpoint. And maybe the French are going to be the relief force and the United States goes home. I don't know. But again, not hearing it anywhere else that I can find. Also, in the Middle East, the Third Temple, you have 23 rabbis that are trying to grow the number. They're part of the reconstituted Sanhedrin, declaring that we need to build the Third Temple now. On top of that, in Gaza, apparently 10,000 plus tires burning in Gaza. There's potential Israeli action in Gaza. There have been some attempts at border incursions that have been repelled by the IDF. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, kind of what the next steps are there. But another flashpoint. On the international front, I've talked about the Chinese space warfare program, weaponizing capital and big data. And now they're upping the ante in the trade war. They are trying to outdo the United States in the trade war. And here's something kind of interesting. The Chinese economy is not as stable as a lot of people try to make it out to be. They have to sell to somebody. And if we're their biggest consumer, what's going to happen is those goods that are no longer coming into the United States from China are going to be made here in the United States. And here's another key, too. If the barrier is so high from the Chinese, then we will be making things here and keeping them here, or maybe finding other trade opportunities. Either way, we're starting to determine our own destiny more so than in the past, and jobs are coming back to the United States of America. All right, also on the international front, we talked about this with General Valley last week. It does look like there's a little bit of an overture that there might be a summit between Putin and Trump. And he kind of called it. Now, the last summit, apparently, was put together by Major General Valley. So I think it's a pretty good source, all right? But either way, you know, don't listen to a lot of the hype out there. Just pay attention to the fact of whether these leaders are going to meet or not. All right, on the national front, sales for guns are up. And now, coming out of a town in Illinois, the village of Deerfield, passed an ordinance, apparently. You go online, I'm posting this at 5 o'clock. You go online and take a look at this. That residents will have 60 days to sell, render inoperable, or turn in their so-called assault weapons over to police. And anyone who's found to have violated this article will be fined not less than $250, not more than $1,000 for each offense. And every separate offense is deemed committed every day. In other words, every day you have it, that's a separate offense. Okay, so, folks, this is real. It's happening. And I would not be surprised if you don't start to see this in other areas of the country. But what this is, and it's interesting that they try to define confiscation as voluntary. And they try to then not use the word seizure, but it really sounds like it would head toward that. Because how do you pay the fine, right? And it would become contraband, so then it would be seized, right, if they found it. So this is happening in America, and what this is driving us toward a civil war. Let's just be very blunt and very plain about it, because there is a group of people in America that are not going to give their guns up. They just aren't. There's a lot of veterans out there, a lot of former special forces, a lot of former intelligence folks out there that aren't going to give their guns up. And so the more that this type of thing spreads, the more likelihood that there is going to be a flashpoint in America. Now, I will say this. This is a one-off right now. But the fact that there is a place that has proposed this is what I think we need to be paying attention to. All right. Also on the national front, Jim Rickards talking about the IMF introducing a digital cryptocurrency as a world currency, part of the strategic drawing rights or the basket of currencies. And saying that then no longer will the world need petrodollars to settle up, obviously would have a dramatic impact on the United States. Also on the national front, do we truly have privacy anymore? And I went through some of the things yesterday on privacy, but now there's a story, it's on InfoWars, coming out of D.C. that rogue spy devices are being found all over D.C., so people are spying on the government, including using one of those dirt boxes we talked about on this show a long time ago that we eventually and successfully banned here in Washington State. Unbelievable. But it's happening. So there's going to be this electronic warfare, you know, as far as eavesdropping is concerned. And it's happening, of course, in Washington, D.C. Why? Because that's where the world's leaders go in, right? All right. On the regional front, 51st state presentation tonight in Ephrata. It's going to be for some elected officials there. We still have not found out on the Bundy case about this new Larry Wooten email, what actually is inside of it, other than kind of the vague things that I've been talking about. As soon as I get that, I will let you know. All right. Also on the local front, the Red Pill Expo coming up June 21st through 23rd here in Spokane. A lot of great speakers, Robert Kiyosaki, Pat Wood, G. Edward Griffin, and a lot of others as well. I mean, just fascinating how many people are going to be showing up here. Also on the local front, March for Our Rights Saturday, 12 o'clock, April 21st, Franklin Park near the Northtown Mall, 12 o'clock this, April 21st, Saturday, April 21st, 12 o'clock, March for Our Rights. This is a Second Amendment rally here in Spokane, and I hope that you all show up, bring your friends and your family, and let's show the liberals that we still like our right to bear arms, and we're willing to stand up for it. Also on the local front, April 16th, the latest book in 299 Days Universe, A Great State, coming out by Shelby Gallagher. That is not her name. And we're going to have her on the radio show next week. So looking forward to that. April 16th, A Great State. For those of you that don't know the 299 Days series by Glenn Tate, you need to check it out. Very well done. And now it's kind of expanding into this whole other realm. There's going to be a lot more books, as I understand it, coming out. There's a lot in the works. And I'll just kind of tease you with with that one. All right. Also on the local front, Ferry County Lincoln Day Dinner, April 7th, 5 o'clock, K Diamond K Ranch up in Republic, Washington. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be speaking to the great folks up there in Ferry County on April 7th. So this Saturday. All right. That's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for the show. Make sure you go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And if you like the show, you can always go to VoteShea.com, and you can help keep us on the air. Now, I want to, before I introduce our guest today, Dr. Jerome Corsi, we're going to get him on the line here in a second. I want to talk about, very briefly, the fact that there is a concerted effort inside the United States government, okay, by the deep state to take Trump down and to undermine his authority. But we focus on that at the national level. This happens at the state level as well. In the state bureaucracies, this happens too, where you can pass a bill in Olympia, for example, and that bill gets undermined by the bureaucrats who are supposed to enforce it. They will interpret their own way, things into it. They'll imply things into it. They'll do all kinds of those things that really undermine the rule of law and undermine your property rights, your right to bear arms, the right to life, your right to liberty, all those things. And what it's important, I think, to understand is that everything that you see happening at the national level does indeed happen at the state level to a smaller degree, sometimes to a larger degree, but often to a smaller degree. And if we want to defend freedom and liberty, we need to be cognizant of that fact. We need to be ready to defend freedom and liberty, ready to drain the swamp, ready to defend those legislators, those elected officials that are willing to stand up for what's right, regardless of the hits they take in the media, regardless of any monetary hits they take. They're still willing to do the right thing. And if we start rallying that way at the local level, particularly, we will see a massive change, massive change. And the scripture says, you know, people will groan, okay, for the lack of righteousness in the land. All right, my guest today, Dr. Jerome Corsi, author of the best-selling book, Killing the Deep State, The Fight to Save President Trump. Dr. Corsi received a PhD from Harvard University in political science in 1972. He's also an investigative journalist and senior staff writer for several conservative websites. He's the author of 6 New York Times bestsellers, including Unfit for Command and The Abomination. Dr. Corsi, thanks very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
So I want to talk about your new book, first of all. Tell us a little bit about this. You know, there's some people that are poo-pooing that there really is a deep state, or that Trump really is being undermined, that really there is a problem at the national level. What's your book about?
Well, I wrote the Killing of the Deep State because I wanted to show what I think is smoking gun evidence against the FBI. When you read this book, you're going to be stunned. It's clear there was a actual coup d'etat move within the FBI centered there against President Trump. And in some extent, it's still going on.
So the fact that it is still going on, I mean, how, first of all, how do we identify that, and what mechanisms are they using truly to undermine President Trump?
Well, I mean, let's take a look at some of the evidence. You have now come to light that these two FBI agents, Peter Stroke, who was head of the counterintelligence division, and Lisa Page, attorney, were meeting in the office of Andrew McCabe, who is deputy director of the FBI. And they were basically, during the campaign, saying how much they hated Trump and they needed an insurance policy, if in their view, a catastrophe if Trump won the election, to make sure they could remove him from office, impeach him. And that was the beginning of this traitorous plan. Basically, they concocted to seize on this Russian dossier, this fusion GPS dossier that had been written in Great Britain by Christopher Steele. And even James Comey at the FBI said the document could not be authenticated. The claims could not be validated. It was salacious and largely a lie. But still, Comey, he told that to Congress under oath, Comey did. But yet three times he signed the FISA application for wiretapping, in which that same dossier was in part used as evidence that there was Russian collusion. So Comey was lying either when he swore to Congress the document was worthless or when he swore to the court that it was evidence of Russian collusion. Either way, I think the document was completely false and was grabbed on by these conspirators in the FBI because they thought this Russian narrative could be a pretext on which to remove Donald Trump from office by impeachment, even though they knew the narrative was false.
So there have been some people commenting out there that in addition to this, that the presidential daily intelligence brief was essentially used as an excuse to spy on Donald Trump. I mean, what do you know about that? And was the surveillance that was occurring against Donald Trump, I mean, clearly politically motivated? I would think so based on all the evidence that's out there.
Well, I mean, clearly the Obama administration decided they were going to do electronic surveillance of the Trump campaign, and they used this fusion GPS document as one of the linchpins to argue there was Russian collusion. Now, no Russian collusion has been proven to date, but the electronic surveillance occurred during the campaign. Trump's campaign was under electronic surveillance during the transition and even some 6 or 7 months into the Trump presidency. Now, the information from the electronic surveillance went to the Obama White House, where Valerie Jarrett unmasked the names, identified the people in the Trump campaign that were under electronic surveillance, and leaked to the press those names and that information. Now, that had to have been done. I can't imagine it was done without President Trump's approval. Certainly, President Trump had to have read the articles in the newspaper and realized that this information was being leaked from within his White House. Those are, again, crimes being committed to undermine President Trump and to deny him the right to serve as president after he won duly an election as voted by the Electoral College.
So the question then becomes, how can, you know, once the corruption is exposed, you know, I helped to expose some of the corruption with the Bureau of Land Management and the Bundy case and some other places, but it seems like exposing the corruption is one thing. Exposing the illegal behavior is one thing, but how do you actually end up holding these folks accountable for it?
Well, I think the first phase, as I point out in Killing the Deep State, is, you know, the ending of the Mueller investigation, which I think is coming to an end right now. And I think Mueller is out of gas. He's proved nothing with regards to Russian collusion. All he's done is indict 13 wacky Russians who will not come back to the United States to face trial. They're accused of posting some messages on social media, which the Justice Department said did not influence the election. And they were not colluding with Donald Trump or with his campaign. So that's all. If that's it that Mueller's got, then I think he's failed in his mission. He's failed because this Russian collusion was and is always a lie and was proposed by the Democrats as their excuse for carrying out a coup d'etat. Unfortunately for them, they were not able to prove this lie, and now the tables are going to be turned.
Do you think it's actually going to lead in prosecutions?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. We've already had Jeff Sessions appoint this John Huber, who's a outside counsel, a prosecutor outside Washington, a U.S. attorney currently. He's been working since November, together with the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, with 470 investigators. Looks like a group within the Department of Justice have already agreed to cooperate, being allowed to stay in their employment and reduce status. And those who are also targets have been, many of them fired or have left. But there's some 40 or 50 people in the Department of Justice and the FBI who are under criminal investigation at this moment. And I think that number is going to expand when we get to the Inspector General's report from Michael Horowitz. I think Jeff Sessions will have the justification he needs to know there's conflicts of interest in the FBI and Department of Justice investigating itself. And I think the case for a special prosecutor is going to get very strong and likely to be made, a second one, this time to investigate the Democrats.
So how big a role is QAnon playing in all of this? I know that you follow that very closely, as do I. What do you think about? I mean, is it legitimate? There's a lot of people that are questioning whether QAnon is even legitimate. But two, is there really some good intelligence, some good information coming out that's exposing the deep state?
Well, in my opinion, QAnon is reliable. It's an intelligence, a military intelligence source, close to the president. The information that's being released is a bit highly accurate and very important in drawing connections. You know, QAnon is not always 100% correct. Some predictions may take longer, some may not happen, but it's like all intelligence. Its goal is not to be 100% accurate on predictions, but to allow you to see the dynamics of the forces at work and understand, you know, what choices you have to make and how the narrative and the situation is developing. And QAnon's been brilliant at that, even as to, you know, various kinds of acknowledgments from Donald Trump that the two are coordinating. What that happened recently in this Easter egg hunt when Trump said the tippity-top shape. Well, various anonymous had asked Trump to use that phrase. And when he did, it was kind of a wink to acknowledge that he knew he'd been asked to use that phrase. He used the phrase, and it was a recognition of the coordination with Q and with the anonymous who were following Q.
So what has stood out to you that Q has brought forward, you know, in particular? I mean, what, because you have an eye for investigative journalism. What has stood out as far as things that have been, you know, wow, I didn't expect that, or hey, that's given me a new direction to look in?
Well, there's many. I mean, first of all, you had very clear indication from QAnon, backed up, I think, by Julian Assange, that it was Seth Rich who was the one who actually, from the inside job, you know, stole the emails from the Democratic National Committee, including John Podesta's emails. Now, that would mean it wasn't Russia at all. There was no Russian. That was the core of the Russian collusion argument, that Trump had somehow conspired with Russia to steal those emails and to make them public through WikiLeaks. QAnon's also suggested that the Democrats ordered Seth Rich killed, and that he was killed by MS-13 at the order of the Democrats, specifically Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I think also shocking has been Q's warnings that the pedophilia that was first seen and the suggested in the WikiLeaks what became Pizzagate, that there is going to be much more on this, and that the elite, the hard left elite in the Democratic Party and the elite, even some in the Republican Party that become establishment, you know, not really conservatives, but agreeing with the Democrats, that there's a huge pedophilia scandal and Satanism even at the heart of the, you know, the Democrats have, I think, moved so far to the left. I read a chapter in Killing of the Deep State that makes it clear the Democrats have abandoned God. They now with Tom Perez, who's they're led by Tom Perez, who is a former La Raza lawyer, and Keith Ellison, who is a Black Panther and a member of the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan. The Democrats have gone so far to the left in this identity politics and hatred of America that they don't resemble anything compared to the Democrats of John Kennedy or Hubert Humphrey's heir. This is what in Europe would be considered either a socialist or a communist, democratic socialist, democratic communist party. And, you know, they're not in favor of the First Amendment anymore. They're intolerant. They don't want conservatives to speak, want everybody to be silenced and censored unless you agree with their hard left ideology. Not in favor of the Second Amendment. Don't want us to defend ourselves against overreaching government or in self-defense. And they'd be happy to go away with the Fourth Amendment because they think that social media and the NSA and the CIA, which are behind the social media, that's all data that's being collected on conservatives who will be censored with the Google data and the Facebook data shared with Hillary Clinton as it was the last time. So, you know, the basic premise of the hard left is so far out of the box, off the cliff for the average American, and QAnon is warning it's going to get worse as this pedophilia and Satanism becomes more publicly known.
And, you know, you hear some of that, and 10 years ago this would have been kind of fantastical. But seeing some of the things that have happened here in my home state of Washington, where you now have just open communists, open socialists, you know, one elected to the Seattle City Council, and then also this just vitriolic hatred toward God. It seems to be spreading across the country. And again, you know, how do we stop something like that?
Well, it is spreading across the country. I mean, you're the whole West Coast. You know, the Californians who ruined California moved up to Washington and helped ruin Washington and Oregon. They weren't satisfied to stay in California after they wrecked it. And so you've gotten the California increasingly. I used to live in Portland, Oregon, and it bears no resemblance to the, you know, the socialist communist republic of Portland that exists today. I'm not sure I could live in Portland, Oregon these days, given how far to the left it's moved. And, you know, you've got an intolerance. Identity politics reigns. Don't mention God anywhere. You know, you'll be scorned or worse. And it's open communists running for office, open socialists, and Satanism, which is, you know, being demanded to be accepted on a basis as a religion. This you know, perversion, I thought would never happen. But it's not across middle America. It's the pockets are the West Coast, the East Coast, and New York and Washington, the elite, Hollywood elite, the media elite, and the hardcore leftists of the Democratic Party, which I think are increasingly out of touch with the American people.
There's no question about it. I see it, you know, particularly behind closed doors in the legislature. You know, people say a lot more when the doors are closed. And it's pretty incredible. I think that most Americans on the street, if they knew the conversations that were happening in the halls of power, would be spurred to action. But they kind of think, well, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe they really aren't going that hard left. But indeed they are. To the extent they looks like the New York Times actually banned your book. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we had a fight both with the New York Times and with Amazon. I mean, Amazon said they were not going to allow us to advertise. It would sell our book, my book, Killing Deep State, but we couldn't advertise it because it had a picture of President Trump on the front. You know, that, and they said it was too political. They didn't like the politics. Well, if it was a hate Trump book, they wouldn't have minded. Well, finally, after a whole day of fighting with them and, you know, with President Trump pounding Amazon again today, Amazon relented and said we could advertise the book. New York Times is a little different. New York Times, with Carlos Slim and its hard left agenda, will not put Killing the Deep State on the bestseller list, even though it should be number four given sales. It's outsold the majority of the books on the bestseller list, and yet the New York Times won't recognize it. The New York Times, Jeff Bezos, the hard left that controls social media, don't want you reading Killing the Deep State.
And that's exactly why everybody in Patriot Radio Land should be reading The Deep State and killing it. That's exactly why. And
right.
I want to shift to something you said about the controlled social media. You've written a lot about this, but particularly, you know, you called this a long time ago about the pervasiveness of the surveillance state. And now, you know, Facebook gets caught with an app and listening into people in their homes and the massive violation of privacy. Tell the listeners a little bit about the scope and breadth of this, because it's not just hitting Donald Trump. It's hitting average, everyday Americans.
See, the original Silicon Valley was funded by the military-industrial complex. And going back to Lockheed Martin wanting to develop certain kinds of advanced electronics and technology. And the CIA moved in once the Internet was developed, and the CIA understood that if it controlled the social media, if it created the social media, it could create this illusion, this lie, you know, tell everybody about where you are and connect with your friends and communicate freely. But it would be the created by the CIA and the NSA is the keyboard that where you voluntarily enter in all the information about yourself to the intelligence agencies, where you are, what you like, what you don't like. And as these kids have gotten into sexting and everything else, every naked picture will be preserved forever, archived. I mean, all the material that goes across the Internet, none of it is missed. Intelligence agencies are picking it all up. And now we find that we should have known, and I warned of it, that since you've got hard left running these social media, you know, Zuckerberg, Eric Schmidt, Jack Dorsey, the information goes to the political campaigns on the hard left. Now, yes, they're talking about Cambridge Analytica, and the story broke on Zuckerberg as an attempt to embarrass Donald Trump. The Cambridge Analytica stole this data off of Facebook or gamed it off of Facebook. But then it immediately came out that Zuckerberg himself had been providing the data to Democratic campaigns, including Hillary Clinton. Eric Schmidt, the head of Google, was the chief technology manager for Hillary. And during the campaign, he gave all Google's data into her Get Out the Vote effort. So, you know, you basically have a massive data collection operation going on in the American population in which we're losing our freedom and basically providing all this data to hard-left campaigns collected by hard-left operatives like Zuckerberg, who know exactly what they're doing and lie freely to Americans about the protection of their privacy, which they had none of these social media had any intention of doing ever whatsoever.
That's exactly right. And with all of these revelations that are coming out right now, there's been a push to have some sort of an internet bill of rights. Do you think that that's the right direction, or do you think there might be some problems, there might be some blowback or unintended consequences with it?
Well, I think it's a very good idea. And I think it's exactly the kind of reform that we need. We need to make it clear that these are not private companies that can just, you know, because they don't like your politics, disconnect you and say you can't be on Google, you can't be on YouTube, you know, you can't monetize. That's arbitrary decisions, and they're being made politically right now by the hard left, the control, the censorship within these social media giants. And what Donald Trump has made clear is that this is about to end. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, is going to start regulating. And they're all going to be, I think, because of the way they've so abused the privileges they were given, the Internet, companies like Google and Facebook, politically censoring conservatives, wanting to end free speech on the Internet. The privacy regulations imposed by the FTC are going to be strong. I think the antitrust is going to be, and these giants are going to be broken up. The Zuckerbergs are going to lose billions of dollars. As far as I'm concerned, it can't happen fast enough.
I completely agree with that. And I think, too, that average Americans can do some things to secure themselves. And you know, sometimes you have to use some of these platforms. A lot of times you don't. What is your advice to kind of the average American to take back some of these things that have been lost through some of these tech giants?
Well, there are more friendly or more favorable platforms, and there are alternatives developing. You know, Gab is opposed to Twitter. And there's, you know, every one of the more conservative and more Christian-oriented different sites are emerging. I think people have to be especially concerned about what their children are doing on the Internet. You know, when you get a three-year-old or a child before they can speak can play on a tablet games, you know, you've got to be supervising who they're communicating with and what they're saying. And you can't assume that there's only positive forces out there that won't manipulate your children or won't be wanting to intrude upon you and your family in ways that are just completely unacceptable. And these people go to put these devices in their home, you know, because you can ask Alexa a question and it answers. Well, it also records everything going on in your home. I mean, these intelligence agencies have the ability to turn on your phone and listen to everything when they want to watch you through the camera in your laptop. As remarkable as it seems and sounds, it's the truth. And we put these devices in our homes and we welcome them in, and we think they're helping us with our lives, when in fact we've just invited Big Brother into the living room or the bedroom or the bathroom to record everything they want to record.
Yeah, it's incredible how pervasive this is in our little tracking devices, i.e. cell phones, that we take with us, and they track location whether we really want them to or not in a lot of cases. Are there people in Congress, you know, a lot of people, are there people in Congress that have enough of a backbone, they're still patriots, that understand these issues and are willing to do everything from, you know, getting Mueller out or you know, getting some of the deep state out and investigating that stuff, and also, you know, reining some of this in and protecting some of our privacies again? I mean, are there any left?
There are some. I mean, you can see some of the heads of the, you know, Dennis Nunes and the Intelligence Committee in the House, and Goodlatte and the Judiciary. I think Senator Grassley done a great job of the Judiciary Committee. There are champions. The Freedom Caucus, I think, is very strong on protecting conservative values, Judeo-Christian values, and, you know, reining in these out-of-control, hard-left social media. It's going to be a fight, but I think Donald Trump is resolved to fight it. Donald Trump himself knows he's censored. Today, unless you set your Twitter account a certain way, some of his tweets are considered too sensitive by the people who run Twitter. They don't want you reading Donald Trump's tweets. They're too, you know, too explosive on the conservative side. A lot of this is screened. People don't realize how much they're shadow banned, and they're people who would follow them, or the numbers are reduced. You don't get do a search, and you're only going to get the negative things that the hard left wants you to see that come up in the search. I mean, the ways in which the Internet is biased, take a look at some of James O'Keefe's Project Veritas videos. They're frightening in terms of the, you know, when on a candid camera, on, you know, a hidden camera, he gets the engineers at Twitter to admit what hatred and scorn they have for anybody who's got a conservative view, anybody who believes in Jesus Christ, anybody who dares to profess God. They hate this. I mean, I've never seen, I never imagined in my lifetime I would see such kind of a almost Luciferian control over the hard left, as today I think is apparent, if you can just know how to see the signs that the left is giving out.
A lot of people call it madness, and I think that's an accurate descriptor. So in the last couple minutes that we have left, Dr. Corsi, if you could tell the listeners where they can go to buy your book, Killing the Deep State, The Fight to Save President Trump.
Thank you for asking. It's Killing the Deep State is available now in all the bookstores, although some bookstores you might have to go in and ask them to get it out of the closet where they've kept it away. it's my name, Corsi, C-O-R-S-I. Even though we fought with Amazon agreed we could advertise again after a day of pounding them on the Internet and pounding Jeff Bezos on the Internet for censoring. Amazon.com is selling the book. Barnes & Noble has put the book in there appropriately in their bestseller list. The New York Times won't do that. But Barnes & Noble has the book in the front of the stores. Books A Million is dealing very well with the book in the front of the stores. And you can get it on barnesandnoble.com and booksamillion.com. My name, Corsi, C-O-R-S-I, and the book is Killing the Deep State.
Well, I've got one more question for you. One of the most fascinating books that you have ever written, in my opinion, that I've read, is the book about hunting Hitler and the whole idea of what happened there. If I haven't heard about it in a while, other than obviously the TV show, but if you could comment on that a little bit, it's a very fascinating subject for a lot of our listeners.
Well, I mean, I maintained that first of all, Adolf Hitler, after killing 60, 70 million people, didn't suddenly just decide that he changed of heart, confessed, married his longtime mistress, and decided, I just better kill myself. This kind of a psychotic madman blamed the German people for his failure, determined to live on for a Fourth Reich, and decided he would escape and get out with his cowardly life intact. And when I began researching it, I found abundant evidence that in the archives, and now it's much more available with a television show, that our intelligence agencies believed Hitler had escaped Argentina. It was widely known. Stalin believed it. It was, again, another case of a establishment lie, government official story being told to the people to cover up the truth. And the truth was nobody wanted to catch Hitler because they didn't want to have to put him on trial. They didn't want to have to give him an opportunity to make his case before the world. So it was more convenient to tell the world he committed suicide and let him get away. And, to a large extent, the more you get into it, you begin to realize how much American intelligence had been working with Hitler before and after the war. Hitler was was largely financed out of Wall Street, including Prescott Bush, the Bush family, Brown Brothers Harriman. Prescott Bush was running a Nazi bank in the United States until Pearl Harbor, when Franklin Roosevelt closed it down, fully documented. And John Foster Dulles' brother, Alan Dulles, who was the head of the CIA, I believe also partly responsible for Kennedy's killing, was in Bern, Switzerland through the war, and he helped the Germans move their money into the American stock market and helped position the escape to Argentina, brought over thousands of Germans in Operation Paperclip, German scientists, Nazis into the United States, brought over the entire Gehland Gestapo agency to be a core backbone of the initial formation of the CIA. I mean, these are the stories you'll never hear unless you do the deep research on it, but I went to the archives and found the data and fully documented a book in which I think, again, will open your eyes to the lies and the evil nature of this deep state, which is, CIA, intelligence agencies, our justice system, some our IRS, which is on its own shadow government agenda, which is anti-American and not in favor of our Constitution or our freedoms.
And it's not new. I think that's the key connection here. This is not new. It's been going on for a very long time, and it's going to be up to all of us as Americans to fight back and to help the Trump presidency succeed. Dr. Jerome Corsi, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Really appreciate your work, and I hope to be in touch in the future.
Thank you. My great pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. Dr. Jerome Corsi, author of the best-selling book, Killing the Deep State, The Fight to Save Donald Trump, on Amazon. Again, he's got a lot of great books, very thoroughly documented. Everyone should read these. These are not speculative. He does an excellent job of laying the case out and also putting in the footnotes of the documents that he has, primary sources, so that, you know, it becomes indisputable. And it asks and begs and raises a lot of questions. Love to have him back on again. I mean, that's just, I could have gone on for a little while there. But I want to take the end of the show. He only had half an hour with us. I wanted to take the end of the show and talk to all of you in Patriot Radio Land, all of you patriots, all of you who love America, who believe the Constitution means what it says, who believe our inalienable rights come from God and not from man, who believe that our country is headed in the wrong direction, who believe that President Trump, in imperfectly as he is trying to get it back in somewhat the right direction. We need to take back our privacy. We need to take back our communications. And I'm going to give you a few different ideas out there right now. So get a pad and a piece of paper. Now, there are people out there that will say, Matt, I don't have anything to hide. I've known people that are in law enforcement. I've known people in the military. Some former special forces that would say, I don't got anything to hide. And they know better. It's not about you hiding anything. It's about the integrity of truth and the free communication that must occur to prevent tyranny from raising up. And when I talked about men being bold on Tuesday and at the beginning of this show, a lot of people are timid and they use as an excuse, I might lose my job over that. I might lose some friends over that. I might lose my compatriots at church over that. It can make my life hard. I just don't want to make any waves. Just keep my head down. Best thing that can be done. Look it. Tyrants expect you to think that. They want you to think that. They bank on you thinking that. The deep state, as Dr. Corsi was eloquently laying out, expects you to just stay under the radar. Not worry about it. Not rock the boat. Freedom demands that we stand up. Freedom demands that we rock the boat. Freedom demands that we have the ability to communicate truth. And so I'm going to lay out some options for you to reclaim your privacy and to engage in the discussions that matter. You know, when I was younger, I heard people all the time say, don't talk about religion and don't talk about politics. Look, religion, I believe the true meaning, relationship with Jesus Christ, that's vertical, right? Horizontal is politics, our relationship with everyone else, our neighbors, right? We must talk about politics. We must talk about religion, because those are the subjects, the relationship with Jesus Christ and our relationship with all our neighbors, that what we're commanded to do in Scripture. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Love our neighbor as ourself. We're commanded to talk about these things. It is a lie of the devil to say, no. You need to be quiet about politics. You need to be quiet about religion. It's a lie. It's a lie. I don't have anything to hide. Folks, they are trying to create a profile on you. There's a consumer data profile on almost every American. And they use that consumer data profile to advertise to you, to introduce stimulus into your life to get you to behave a certain way, i.e. buy their product. Now, in the hands of government bureaucrats, think about that. So we need to take back our communication. In fact, we should not be texting on through normal channels. Okay? We should be texting encrypted. We should be emailing encrypted. We should be on social media that doesn't take our information and sell it and then censor. We should be embracing the massive ingenuity of America in keeping our communications private and true. All right, so for those of you that want to write this down, I recommend, and we there are people out there that can get in arguments about this stuff. Look, I'm recommending, suggestion, that everybody download a couple of programs on their phone. One of them is called Signal, S-I-G-N-A-L, Signal Private Messenger. And the other is Wire, W-I-R-E. So Signal Private Messenger and Wire. Both of them encrypt text messages. Both of them allow for disappearing text messages. Both of them allow for encrypted phone calls as well, and prevent against what are called man-in-the-middle attacks, or when somebody's trying to use a dirt box to intercept your signal, okay? Those are the things we talked about, Stingray device, talked about at the beginning of the show. And they are banned in Washington. But then I would recommend, too, having encrypted email. Now, there are a lot of great services out there. Proton Mail, Unseen Mail, that's U-N-S-E-E-N, Unseen Mail, Proton Mail, Start Mail. And you can use a program called Thunderbird, which is essentially like a encrypted mailbox. So, you know, you have this OS mailbox on your computer. Thunderbird is kind of your encrypted mailbox. And you can have these encrypted emails come to your encrypted mailbox. So it adds another layer of encryption over the top of it. And it's very easy to use. And that program is called Thunderbird again. So Thunderbird, Start Mail, Proton Mail, and Unseen Mail. Those are ways you can communicate with encrypted email and, again, reclaim some of your privacy. For those of you who don't know, Google reads your emails and markets based on what is in your emails. Facebook just got busted listening through its app. How do you think this stuff happens? You know, when you get that weird advertisement like, hey, I was just talking about that with my friend. That's where it's coming from. And you could take some of this back by using encryption. And again, for those people who say, I don't have anything to hide, then don't do it for you. Do it for the sake of the integrity and freedom of our system. There's also a couple of social media platforms out there that people can use that don't track. Now, one of them is called MeWe. It's M-E-W-E, MeWe. I'm actually already on MeWe. And then there is what Dr. Corsi recommended, Gab, G-A-B, and it's actually gab.ai. And right on their front page, no ads, free speech, speak your mind, and share your thoughts. I mean, it's one of the ways we can organize. We go around the mainstream media by becoming the media and using these social media platforms that are better than Facebook and better than Twitter. And so with a rally, for example, coming up on April 21st, this March for our rights rally, a Second Amendment rally, Franklin Park here in Spokane, 12 o'clock, we can organize. And we don't have to worry about being censored or slammed or shadow banned. We can actually get our message out to the folks that care. Now, some people say that's just too much time and effort. Freedom is never too much time and effort. And this is one of the things that we, I believe, should take back because we love freedom. And the act of doing it is an extension of freedom. It seems pretty simple when you think about it that way. There's also some search engines that you can use when you go online. And they go right to your homepage. They connect when you open a new tab on your laptop, it comes up. And probably the best, now I used to use Start Mail a lot, but Start Mail's searches were really too tied to Google, and so I was not getting some hits and information that I needed. And so I've switched to DuckDuckGo. Yes, you heard that right. It sounds like a child's game or something. It's DuckDuckGo. And it comes up. You can just type straight into your search engine just like you normally would. You open a new tab, and it comes up as your search engine. And it displays a lot of good results, images, videos, everything. And they don't track you. In fact, they actually grade the privacy of some of the sites that you're visiting. So, for example, right now I'm on Gab, and that site has a B, but it's enhanced with DuckDuckGo's privacy protection from a C to a B in ranking. So it's a way, again, to reclaim your privacy and do it in a way that's easy, okay? And if you love freedom, we need to start doing it, because the deep state, if they're monitoring the president of the United States, you can most certainly know they're going to be monitoring every American, and there have been whistleblower after whistleblower after whistleblower that has confirmed that indeed is the case, and not just with the NSA. So join me, patriots out there, bold men out there, join me. Let's stand up. Let's help kill the deep state. Save freedom in America, and save privacy for our posterity in the next generation. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.